Hi, well,
good evening, everyone, and welcome to the call. And we want to wish welcome to BBS Radio. At this time, we still have callers coming in and joining us, and we're glad to have everyone tonight. Thank you all for coming and being with us. Good evening. We've had quite a few people come in at this time. If you wish one at a time to say your name and location, please do.
Mimi in Arizona.
Well, welcome to the call.
Hi, Mimi.
Sean from
Massachusetts.
Hi, this
is Jamie.
All right. I heard two people. Well, welcome both of you. I heard others
from California.
All right. Well, welcome to the call.
Julianne in California.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for coming to the call this evening.
Allie,
there are others who have come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Todd in Chicago.
Hey, Chicago. Thank you for coming to the call.
Hi, Todd.
Cambria.
This is Don in balmy Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to the call. I'm glad you come.
Balmy, huh?
Yeah, it's about two below.
Oh,
yeah. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Nancy in Michigan here.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the call. And I heard another person come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, this is Ronnie from Atlanta.
Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anyone I've missed?
Dan and Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Yes, this is Donna, and I heard someone else speak.
Dan in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Mike. Hey, welcome to the call.
Good evening, Joel in Chicago.
Well, welcome to the call. Welcome to the call, all of you. I'm sorry I can't keep up with you, but welcome to the call.
Great job, Donna.
Oh, you're most welcome.
There you do.
Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Good evening. This is Derek in Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, Derek, I heard you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Billy and Jackie.
Well, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Others have come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, there's two of us. It's Billy, Jackie, and we are in Los Angeles.
All right, so thank you, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Suzanne in Columbus.
Welcome to the call. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, have I missed anyone? Is there anyone I'd like to say their name and location?
Sponge.
Donna.
Cameron.
You're welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Okay.
Hey, Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Evening.
Celeste from Sedona.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Has anybody else joined in? I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
My name is Dorothy from LA.
I hear Dorothy and I hear Chris. Welcome to the call.
Hey, hi. What's up, man?
Hey, another day. How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging on, man, but I'm trying to heal up.
All right. Healing blessings to you, my brother.
Thank you.
For me, too.
Yeah, I'm out of the hospital. And, I've got pneumonia, you know. I had pneumonia real bad, so I'm trying to do it at home. So.
Well, I'm glad you're home now.
Yeah.
I heard somebody else join in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Cameron in L.A.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Who's got the coldest temperature today, right now?
I think it's Donna.
Where is she located?
What was it?
She's in Canada.
Oh, Canada. Oh.
Montana.
Montana.
Yeah.
What's the temperature there?
I think she said minus 20.
It's going to get cold in Memphis, too.
Minus 20 in Canada.
Talking about some kind of polar vortex or whatever they call this thing.
Need to mute that line.
I was 73 today.
Lucy, how are you?
I tried to warm up everybody. Sunny and 73, nice blue sky.
Every orange grower in Florida hates you. You're bringing a curse to them. How are you, Lucy?
Great, Dwayne. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Is it Donna?
Yes, hi. So I got knocked off the call.
Oh, welcome back.
All right, thank you. It's been crazy on the phone and internet today here.
There's been a lot of weird phone stuff going on.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, guys.
You're late.
Actually, it wasn't letting me on.
Okay.
So you got nothing.
What's up, Wynn?
Hey, well, listen, Hive. Stop putting all my faults in front of me.
No, I'm only stating a fact.
That's right.
Oh. There's no judgment, right?
No judgment, no.
Is Terry here? Is Terry here?
Yes. I'm here.
Hi, Terry.
Cowboy alone.
Hi, Don.
Who is that saying hello?
It's Chris. I need a new lung.
Chris.
Hello, Chris.
And Robert.
I got pneumonia. I had pneumonia for a week real bad. It almost killed me.
Well, God. You could have gotten a quick trip to the other side.
Well, okay. I'm not quite ready. And, you know, I like my body. I'm not
NDE.
Ready yet.
I'm glad to hear that.
We like you here.
All right.
Yeah. Please stick around, Chris.
Grab onto our hands.
How do they treat pneumonia nowadays?
Magical.
Not well. I'm not a good patient. And I walked out of the hospital twice.
Uh-huh.
Tried to do it on my own. Came home.
Because that sales were work good.
I got a humidifier that really helps, humidifier and all that. I'm trying to get the stuff out of my lungs. And I had blood clots in my lungs.
I do a healing on you if you call.
I got pretty bad, man.
Hi.
Chris, did you hear Michael?
He's sitting on a gym.
Hi, it's Jim. Did you not hear that Daphne checked in a few minutes ago?
I did not hear her check in. No, I did not.
I remember hearing Daphne, and I know her voice. She may be there.
Is she kicking on?
Hello, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne.
Are you with us?
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne, if you're there.
I don't see her.
I could have sworn it was her voice. Well, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet again.
It's okay. It's okay, Jim.
We like your voice anytime,
yes.
Anytime.
You give.
Oh my goodness! Who do I write to whom do I write the check?
A pen.
Well, maybe that was Daphne having a senior moment.
She's not, but she's not a senior yet, to my knowledge.
Neither am I.
You're only a senior if you feel that way.
I agree.
Right.
It's all an illusion.
Exactly. Illusion.
This is
when Jim moved in here, he was a senior, and now he's a junior.
Chris. Almost dead 7 for Chris. I've died many times.
OK.
Okay.
Win,
I am muted. I'm going to mute. I'm going to mute everybody.
Win. Just a minute. Win. Win.
Yes, Lucy.
Michael want to do a healing on that person who have pneumonia.
Chris.
I just want to remind you.
Yeah, Chris.
Oh, that's
okay. I'll call Chris with his phone number. All right.
Yeah.
Is that okay with you, Chris?
Yeah, that's great, man.
And okay with you, Michael?
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm muting everybody. Here we go. Thank you, Lucy, for bringing that to my attention. Okay.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to mute everybody. Okay. Everybody is muted. We're going to start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
This is January 27, 2014, Monday. And thank you all for being here. Thank you all the new people who are here. Thank you all the old people who have been holding the energy for these calls to occur. And if you're new and you're listening in, you'll notice that there's a group of people that have an uplifted, kind of happy energy. And probably many of them would say it's because of these calls, because we've generated a community feeling. And it's not exclusive. It's not a click. All you got to do is keep showing up. And particularly, the people on the internet don't get this benefit. People that are listening on the internet and the people on the phone line, when they check in early, they get to talk to each other. They get to say hello. They say something about themselves. So you might try checking in sometime. You know, there's no right way to approach this work. Everyone is a total individual. And some people just like to listen in the background, and they're anonymous, and we don't hear from them. And sometimes a year later, a year and a half later, they send me an email and tell me I have felt really uplifted because of these calls. And it's very important to be uplifted. And no matter where you are in your life, no matter what's going on, there's an energy in these calls that can help shift it. You have to shift it and to show up. It's kind of an amazing thing to have a conference call under the auspices of these group souls. So what does that mean, to be under the auspices? Well, it doesn't mean that they control us. It doesn't mean that they expect anything of us. It doesn't mean that you have any obligation. You can do everything exactly as you're doing it. It means that if you're not aware of this idea, you have an energy that's connected to your body. Some people call it your soul. And that energy, unlike your physical body, which is very discrete, is that the right word, discrete, very finite. You know, your body stays the same size, more or less. You get fatter and thinner, but, you know, your body doesn't change very much. And it does, but your energy changes, okay? Your soul changes. It changes by the input that you put into it. It's like a computer. And your physical body is like the input to your soul, and it registers everything. And so if you're at a certain state right now, it's because your soul has registered and held itself at that state because you programmed it that way. Now, you didn't know you were programming it. And in fact, you didn't know how to program it differently. We're all
stuck, and it's kind of a mystery. But I know it works this way. I know. I'm not going to talk because this is a channeling call. But the key is when you input something different to your soul, it responds energetically to what's being inputted. And on these calls, this is a kind of input. It's an input to your physical body, and your soul is monitoring it. And then on the other side, in the other dimensions, we have these sources that say they are monitoring you, and they're monitoring your soul. And they, if you want to be private and say, I don't want anybody to look at me, they won't, because they honor that thought form and they stay away. And if you're open to the possibilities and you trust the interaction, then they can move into the space of your soul and share space momentarily with you. And this is something you have to learn how to trust. And it, you don't have to trust today. You can be in the space of checking it out and see if it feels safe to you. It's just like when you meet someone new, sometimes there's an immediate rapport, an immediate connection, and most often relationships evolve. And when a relationship evolves in a good way, people start to feel each other's energies. They allow each other into each other's soul space, so to speak. And so the unusual aspect of our calls is that we have these group souls that are very loving, we certainly appear to be, no agendas, certainly appear to be, and can look down at our realm, and they can sense how alienated and how painful life can be for many people. And they have the ability to project love in your direction. And you have the ability to feel the love. And that when that occurs, it builds a connection that regardless of how unloved you might feel in your life, there is this potential to feel love from energy beings in other realms. And, you know, you have to hang in and see if you can have that experience, because many people on our line have had that experience. And once you tap into that, it's way easier to deal with other people, because unlike humans who can love you and leave you, who can be your friend and betray you, they don't mean things. And so they can love you and hold the love. Now, I don't know exactly how all this works. I know a little bit how it works. I know they're a group energy and that they don't have anything better to do than to love us. I mean, we're part of their creation in certain ways. And they're not gods in the way that normal thinking would think of God. But you can see how easily it would be for them to be thought of as God, because they have the ability to rearrange reality. They have the ability to make you feel loved. And it's like when you can feel loved, it starts clearing lots of patterns for yourself. And you got to remember that most of us have had loads of lifetimes in this realm. And we've established those patterns over many, 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 many lifetimes. And, you know, it's not your fault in most cases, not in all cases. Sometimes it is your fault. But in many, many cases, your situation is actually a result of the programming in this realm. That this realm has been programmed intentionally by negative forces on the other side that want, have designed certain things to trap you and to control you and to make you feel bad about yourself. When you feel bad about yourself, when you feel unworthy, when you feel unloved, when you feel needy, and it's okay, we all have felt that way. When you feel that way, you are very susceptible to being controlled, because, and so there is a design in this realm to make you feel that way and to have that susceptibility. And I believe in these calls and in the work we're doing, we are creating the opportunity to untangle that. But you have to reach back. You have to be curious. You don't have to believe me. You know, one of the things about saying something like I just said is it, on the negative side, it creates a hook. And I don't want to create a hook. I want to create an opportunity that you can take advantage of, to untangle yourself. And if you're one of those people that have untangled yourself and have a lot of love and care to give and you don't have a place to do it, this can be a place for you to do it. So that's kind of my overview. And I speak from, not because somebody else said this is true. If we're channeling and they say something, I don't believe it until I see it work. And I say what I'm saying based on the experience of so many people that have come into the calls. And those people that were coming in a few years ago used to say, you know, this is an experiment. This is an experiment. Let's see what happens. Because that's how I felt. I didn't really know how it would work. And if I say, if I do this, what will happen? And if I do this, what will happen? The first time I did a Sunday call, and I called in the light, which is like an invocation to bring the energies in. Now, you don't really need to do that. That's the only concession to ritual that we have. And when I do it, it's not really a ritual. I'm really feeling the energies when I'm doing it. But when I first did it, I didn't know what would occur. I said, oh my God, no one's ever going to come back to the call again. We can't do this. But I felt this great expanded space as I did it. And then I got the feedback that other people were feeling it too. And so now that expanded space is there. It just holds from the get-go, as soon as the call starts. In most cases, that energy is present. And that when you come in, you are tapping into that energy. And it's like, as you learn to tap into it, more and more, your old patterns start to clear because it's an energy that's above all those patterns. But you have to have that experience. I only say that because I've watched it work for many people. And what's cool is we're doing it for free. We're giving this great thing that is accessible to many, many people simultaneously. We're not charging for weekend workshops. We're not charging for private sessions. We did private sessions. You know, private sessions were awesome for the people we did it for. And we may do it again for a short period. But the problem with the private sessions are it's not efficient. It's one person at a time. And number two, at the time we were doing it, when we would do a reading, we would be holding the energy for the person, and in particular, Terry, would get really tired. So we would do a one-hour session, and then Terry would be sleeping for a few hours. And oftentimes, this is, you know, I'll tell you about Terry, this was beautiful. Somebody was going through a hard time, and Terry would be spending time sending energy to them, praying for them. And that's all good, but we got to think big. And so we have to do it for each other. And everyone who's on these calls is getting an opportunity to learn how to be more than they managed, they could have imagined they ever could be. And that is, you really are part of all that is. You really are part of all that is. You really have Christed energies in you. You really can experience that. But you have to make a reach. You have to understand that once you want to reach for that, oftentimes the first thing that comes up is it gets worse before it gets better, because you're suddenly faced with all the patterns that you had nowhere to surface coming up and in your face. So then you got to process those patterns. How do you process a pattern? You just let it come through. You accept whatever's happening. You accept today's a bad day. Today I feel angry. Today I feel hateful. Just don't take it out on other people. That's process it. Assume full responsibility for everything that's going on in you. Assume full responsibility and let it come through. Never blame anybody. Never be a victim. And if you find yourself doing that, then watch it, observe it, and process that. And just say, okay, here I am being a victim. Here I am being a blame. Here, the world is too much for me. I used to do that. Believe me, I did it all. I know how it feels. I had to move through all this stuff in myself. And, you know, most of my life, I've been working these things out. And I know it works. And I know, because if I didn't do it, if I didn't succeed in it, I wouldn't be here now. This is, you know, we created this. This is our creation. And I would say we, including Terry, including Daphne at the beginning of it, and the Elohim group and the Ra group. And, you know, one of the things that I kind of learned, and it took me a while to learn this, is that when we think of something as immense as the Elohim, you would think that they know what to do. But in fact, if they knew what to do, if they could do something that could remove the suffering in this realm, to wake people up, they would have done it. They've been around a long time. It's not their pleasure to watch all the suffering that happens here and not know how to fix it, especially since they had some part to play in the very beginning of all of this that has grown into this. So, of course, they would fix it. But what I have learned is it takes co-creation. They need a ground crew because they need connection with beings in this realm who they can work with and through. And all it means is that you start radiating great energy in your space around you. It doesn't mean you're following their orders. They don't tell you. You have to they don't tell people what to do. What they are is a huge energy generator at a higher dimension, and they have the ability to flow energy through the universe, which causes all of us to feel that energy and start tapping into the higher aspect of ourselves. And so I say this over and over, and I'll say it once again, it all is revolves around what they call, what the both groups those call, the law of one, which is one energy in the universe. One energy. Everything is one energy. And at the higher realms, the entities, the beings, the consciousness, the awarenesses know that there's one energy. And they know that they're part of each other. They feel the connection with each other. They can blend and operate as a team, which makes them very powerful, or they can operate in sub-councils, and they can operate individually. You know, it's a flowing free will association, but at the highest level, it's loving, because they don't need anything. They don't need a roof over their heads. They don't need status. They don't need money. They don't need dinner, okay? So it's their pleasure to have the opportunity to have a anchor point in this realm where they can help those of us who have gotten stuck and contracted and up against the wall and don't know where to go. So the call we're going to do tonight, and let me go into it. Let me get right into it now. It's 7:30. We have about 25 minutes. And by the way, anyone who's thinking, why is Lynn talking? Why did it just let them talk? Because my talking is part of the co-creation. It's part of blending the energies. It's like they come in to us. The better we have a group energy, the better we have a loving connection, the clearer and easier the contact is with them. The clearer and easier it is for Terry, because she doesn't have to process everything. We're coming in with a group energy, and they can access that group energy, they can blend with that energy, and we can feel something shift. And so that's why I talk. And there's times when I have to talk longer, sometimes when I can talk shorter, sometimes I don't have to talk at all. But particularly, there's new people on the line. There's people that are maybe read the book, and that being on the conference call is different than reading a book, I think, for most people, because it involves you more. We are involved more. And even though I'm talking, you are all present in this field. And your energies, your souls, are in that field. And some of you who are listening for the first time are feeling the energy of the field. And you say, is that it? Yes, that's it. You're getting it. And it's something you can get used to. And it's what you're feeling. It doesn't feel like it's not you. It feels like it's a you that's expanded. And that's exactly what it is. It's a you that's expanded. It's a you that's learning to tap into those dimensions that have been shut down in your space, and learning to become comfortable with them. And so I thank you. You're all part of the experiment. Every time somebody new comes in, the field shifts and changes to flow around them and include them. And when you go back to your life after this call, you'll probably contract again. And you'll come back again
expand and contract. And after a while, something in you can click, and you will see how you can create this kind of energy in your space. And it doesn't have anything to do with turning people into believers or knowing about the Elohim or knowing about the shift. You try to do that, they're going to think you're crazy. You know, just tell them to go to my website and read the book. And don't ask them about it. Let them reach back. If they've read the book, they're curious, they'll want to know more. But it's one of those things that you can't talk to people logically and expect them to get it. Because they won't, and in fact, they'll probably think you're crazy. So you don't have to do that. Terry, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So we're doing our little invocation to the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection of all those listening who would wish to participate in that connection. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? And would they like to give an introduction or comments to what I said or anything they'd like to say to our group in this moment? Thank you.
Yes, this is from on. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you. This is the 27th of January, 2014, and we localize ourselves in order to bring through this channeling, and we also connect with each and every person who wishes to be connected with, and we take a moment to achieve that connection. We only connect if we wish connection. Connection is a two-way street. It is not a one-way street. It is a co-creative venture in which you are open to us and we are open to you. And as a result of this connection, you may see generated from the connection a color of pink, a light pink, the color of love. We are here with you, and it is a sacred moment of time when we are here in the third dimension with you, and we honor you for coming and connecting. We love you. Do you have questions?
Yes. We are continuing our series of questions on how the Elohim created the universe. And just to give it, you know, this is, if you go in our archive section, I'm talking to everyone on the line, and you do a search called How the Elohim Created the Universe, we probably have six or seven of these sessions on there, and they're very fascinating. And we are going to continue where we left off
but just a quick review, like a one-minute review. Originally, there was one awareness, and that one awareness divided into multiple awarenesses because it was lonely. And these awarenesses did not have bodies. They were energies. They were energies in time, space. And then there were millions of them. And there was the desire to have persistence. And the desire to have persistence, things would last, because when everything was energy, everything was just in the moment and would be floaty. They learned how to create frequencies, combine frequencies, and those frequencies would become points in space-time that would persist. And that was the very beginning of the universe. And it started out with galaxies and planets and life forms. And originally, the way that I understood it, it was not that they thought of themselves as God. It was like the universe was somewhat like an aquarium that they could watch the development of. And everything in the universe had a consciousness and had some ability to create the rules around it that it would control that space by those rules. And everything is aware and conscious. So each planet has a consciousness. The Earth has a consciousness. And just as you, who are may have a family, and you create the rules of your family, you create how your children are brought up, you create what schools you create or don't create, what kind of integrity you pass on to them. The Earth has its rules, and we live in the Earth space, and we are learning and growing, but we're hosted in the energy field of Earth. And so once there was a physical universe, there was such a thing as possessions, and that there was a reason for one being to have control over another being. There would be slavery, because it was easier to be here if you had lots of people taking care of you, and they would do your bidding. So there was a desire to create contraction by certain beings in the universe, and our planet is at the effect of a lot of those intents to create slavery, to create all kinds of things. And it's possible to escape from that and still be here. But you have to get your hologram above that energy. There were Elohim souls that would come into this realm, and that initially they could go back and forth, and that I believe this was in Edgar Casey's material, and I think we've asked the question that they would be sharing space with beings that were here, and they would experience sex, and the sex would cause their energy to get locked into this realm. And then they got stuck in cycles of reincarnation. And some of those Elohim souls that had a lot of power in this realm would play their power card and turn negative. So some of the secret societies, some of the control mechanisms are Elohim who descended into this realm, which are sometimes referred to as fallen angels. But if we have it right, we are connecting to the celestial Elohim that didn't have bodies in this realm and that decided that they shouldn't have bodies because somebody had to hold the center point space, and if they all left, what would happen if they all left and took bodies. So when they take bodies, there's a question of how much they remember that they were Elohim souls, But if you read the Bible, and, you know, the Old Testament says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man, and so that would have seemed to indicate that there were Elohim souls that knew they were Elohim souls and were having sex with the humans, okay? And we've also learned, that's enough for my preamble. So I'm going to go to the question. There was an interesting point that we came to some time ago about how the Elohim, I asked about sex, sexuality. Obviously, sexuality is one of the prime creative forces in this realm. And obviously, it's a very complicated process about how a being got created that could have those kind of drives, that could have a male and a female work so well together to create offspring and bring them up. And there had to be quite a bit of design in the creation of that. And some time ago, we discussed about amoebas and how amoebas, what they brought up amoebas, and the amoebas were, I think, the first animal that where DNA was established. And DNA was like a reflection, a microcosm of the universe. And so let me turn it over to them just to bring us up to date on the creation of the amoeba, and let's explore how the amoeba went into higher life forms.
Thank you. One of the basics is stinningness, and stinningness allows life to occur. There is a constant motion that takes place, and spinningness allows the intersection with other spinningnesses, and these can then combine and can create a life form. For instance, with the DNA is the winding around of strands that are created by spinningness, the spinningness and result of spinningness of the galaxy and of the solar system and of the planet. The strands are wound around and more strands are created. And there are a number of strands that due to the geometry come together and wind around and then begin to create a basis of life. The amoeba then, or other lower life forms, begin to achieve rudimentary consciousness. Because of the collection of the images, the holographic images that are wound around and are reflecting back and forth to each other and resonating back and forth. And over time, the forms get more complex, and some of the forms are inoperable, and some of the forms, particularly a round form, for instance, the form of the cell, it is more apt to survive because of its round nature. It does not get destroyed. It has a protection around it from the stimulus they are creating, somewhat of a harder layer around it than can resist destruction and can find a way to combine with other forms. When we would look at the different forms that were being created, we delighted in the fact that they were moving on their own. And we went to them and watched them, and then would, due to our unique skill of being able to duplicate, to be in total connection with them, would be able to make them jump or move and to be one with them, and then to see what happened when one would move them out and into connection with another. We have a whole group, a division or section of beings that work on the creation of life forms for the best cohabitation, for the best experience, for the best model to develop. We work from our holographic sense of self with the little life forms and would be able to control them and control their mating or their uniting, and then to watch what the creative forces of the universe brought forth. We did not create the laws, the major laws of consciousness. We utilized them. We are workers also, such as individuals, people in the lower realms, and we work with the creative forces that were available to us to create. Outside of space and time, there is a master intelligence. And the master intelligence has a bearing on all that is and has the unique ability to keep track of all of its creatures at the same time and to send what is needed or provide what is needed for the best growth of that individual. And this is outside of our scope. This is outside of space and time. We are on the edge of space and time, and we can move outside it, but we can work just on the inside of space and time, which is a very rapid movement there. And as you move into the lower dimensions, it steps down into slower and slower movement as all of the factors, all of the cells, all of the consciousnesses have to come into uniform movement in order to exist. Therefore, things are much slower in the third dimension. it took a long time to move from an amoeba to have a full-form human being. And there was much work, and there is still much work going on how to develop the ideal human being. There were human beings that were developed that were swifter and more durable than those that you have. And there are human beings developed that are not as viable as your species. Your species is really resilient and is particularly suited to life in the Earth plane. There are in the Earth plane many different life factors working together. The bacteria that are in the digestive tract that help make the B vitamins, the digestive enzymes that help digest the food, coordinated with the environment moisture that is needed. Life is particularly on planet Earth suited to planet Earth. Does this help?
Yes, and I think we've just started a three-hour discussion, and we have 2 minutes. I think that, you know, I have many questions about how the intention of the higher realms, where we have learned that in the higher realms, if we understand it correctly, that you are energy beings, that how those energy beings could work with an amoeba. And, you know, I'm going to ask this one question, and I think we have to close the session. So we have about 2.5 minutes, and maybe we'll continue this next week since we just scratched the surface. And were the energy Elohim coming into this realm, occupying, in other words, you said you could occupy an amoeba, and I assume that you could occupy beings. Were they coming in and doing higher work of construction of things, and then going back and forth? And then according to Edgar Cayce, they got trapped in this realm because of the experience of sex. They pulled their energy into the realms of the physical. Can you answer that in two minutes?
Well, we started out so strong and so confident that we could take over a lower form and could come and go at will and would not get trapped by the energies of the lower form. However, this was before there was sex and before the beings became much more complex. And as the beings became more complex and sex was developed, then it became harder to escape the energy field of the body. So that if an Elohim came in and was a lower level Elohim with a lower level of energy, they would then move into the focus of the body and not escape it.
Thank you.